If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
As the Chicago Bulls and Josh Giddey still sit quite a bit away in their contract negotiations, reportedly, there's an interesting player's contract they could look to mimic the structure of in regards to Josh Giddey, and that's Jalen Green. We're going to talk a little bit about that. That comes from an article from Pippen Ain't Easy, and I want to talk about why Io DeSumo is a lot more important to what the Chicago Bulls are going to do next year than I think a lot of people are realizing. We'll talk about all that and dive a little bit into the mailbag and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. So Austin McGee over on Pippen Ain't Easy wrote an interesting article on how the Bulls could look to replicate Jalen Green's contract in a way in regards to their contract extension with Josh Giddey, considering that both sides are reportedly far apart on money, which could lead to a shorter-term deal. This kind of coincides with the voicemail that she got on yesterday's episode, in which somebody asked, would it benefit Josh Giddey to sign a more shorter-term deal? And why I talked a little bit more about the risk involved there. Also, McGee has an interesting perspective on it that actually adds on how it could benefit Josh Giddey. And they talk about this, right, saying the Houston Rockets extended Green on a three-year, $106 million contract with the player option in year three. Green's contract started at $33.35 million before topping out at $36.2 million, then slightly increasing to $36 million in the final season. Of course, Green has since been traded in a deal that saw the Rockets acquire Kevin Durant from the Phoenix Suns. While Green's contract is roughly $10 million more than the Bulls' preferred price, the length of it is kind of more so what Austin McGee is talking about here. Now that benefits the Chicago Bulls. With getting that type of length on a three-year contract, basically a two-plus-one contract, that puts Giddey in the position where he can come in, show that post-All-Star break run was not just a flash in the pan, and show how much of that is legitimately going to be him going forward into his career, right? And it gives, with having the last year as an opt-out, gives him an opportunity to basically play 2 years on a not necessarily a proven deal because he'd still be getting paid decent money. But then after he does prove it, to say, all right, bet, I'm going to opt out. And now I'm going to get paid what I originally wanted, if not more, because now I've proved it for longer. And that also opens him up a chance to have the restricted free agency tag removed. He'll be unrestricted at that point in time. But also for the Bulls, it also offers a little bit too. You're not signing him to the full 5 years. So if that postseason, post-All-Star break run was not legitimate, it is not something that is going to carry on forward into his career, it gives you an opportunity to come off that contract and not be there a strap to it for long term. So there's that aspect of it that I understand, right? It really could take, either side of it. If Giddey plays at an all-star level over those first 2 years of the deal, listen, he is going to opt out and sign for a much more lucrative deal, which makes a lot of sense for what Josh Giddey and his camp believe. And now I get it. I get why both sides want the security of a longer deal, right? Injuries are a thing, all those type of things. Like, I understand if that is the case. But I think as things keep going on, you're starting to get more and more likely that deal's a little bit shorter than the full 5 years. Now, I mean, maybe they still can come up with a full 5 year contract, and if they do, great. Like, it is what it is. But the negotiations at this point, they're at the point where we haven't really seen any kind of forward progress on it one way or another, and we just got to see what that's going to end up turning into. You know, at this point, I really did not think we'd still be talking about a Josh Giddey contract situation at this point, just being honest with you guys. At this point in the offseason, I thought we'd move on and basically have our roster solidified. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, saying that I thought the contract would be one thing or another. I just thought regardless of the outcome of the contract, it would be solved by now at this point. You know, we're about to be into August, right? Like, NBA training camps are going to open up in about 8 weeks. This is where we are, and still, like, being here is kind of a little bit crazy. Less than 8 weeks, really. We're probably looking at more like six weeks until NBA training camps are opening up. So, you know, we got a little bit of time where this can still be a thing for sure, right? I don't want to act like it can't be, but, you know, you want to get that done. And so, you know, we shall see. It's right now, all the restricted free agents, though, are still in the same spot. And I really don't think, it almost feels like that the restricted free agents are kind of waiting for the first deal to go down. Nobody wants to be the first one. And if that's a thing, if that's a thing, right? I haven't even looked to see if any of the restricted free agents share the same agent, which would play a different part into it, but I doubt it. I think we would have already seen that be a storyline if the restricted free agents shared any kind of a shame agent. But, you know, this is just to have this many of your restricted free agents and the bigger name ones still be sitting without a deal. Like last we heard as well, like Cam Thomas could sign like a 2 years, 60 or 25 million, something like that. Like was the last offer. Johnny Kuminga's not going to take the Golden State Warriors offering him. His agency's trying to still find a sign and trade deal. It's a lot going on right now, man. And the Bulls are sitting in a place where, you know, you re-sign Billy Donovan. Great. You know, your front office is locked in. Great. I've said it before. Billy Donovan, his system looks best when you have a point guard operating it as a high level. So you think that they would want to get that locked in for a point guard that really, for the new system that Billy Donovan has been running and likes to run, Josh Giddey's been damn near perfect for that, right? And I'm not saying Josh Giddey is a perfect player, because you know where Josh Giddey lacks at defensively and some things, but, you know, we shall see what's going to happen, man. I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen here. I wish I did, man. But the Josh Giddey thing is just, at this point, we're all just waiting to see when a deal is officially announced. And then when that is officially announced, we'll break down what that means for either side. But let me know what you guys think on it down below. Do you think as this goes on that the Chicago Bulls could sign Josh Giddey to a more shorter term deal, whether it be 2+1 or just an outright 3-year deal? Let me know what you guys think on that down below. But moving on for that, I actually want to talk about a player that I do think is one of the more overlooked Chicago Bulls. Now, I will say this. Some Bulls fans, especially when we're in this comment section, are going to say things like, oh my God, but Hayes, he's maybe a little bit overrated. And, you know, we've had those conversations. But I think that Io DeSumo, right, who, keep in mind, Io DeSumo played over, he was part of the NBA Players Association. They had their performance summit at the Sanctuary in Spain. It was a 3-day event, which players from across the league come in for workshops and demonstrations with things. And Io DeSumo was a part of that. And it got me thinking, like, Io is a player that I think we can overlook Io's importance in what the Bulls doing as a two-way player. And one of the few two-way players that the Chicago Bulls have on this roster. Io has potentially a huge role here. And the thing that I want to kind of highlight is over the last two seasons, so the 2023-24 season and the 2024-25 season, I want to specifically look at Io DeSumo and his numbers as a starter, because I do think Io's going to get a chance to maybe start at the three. So if we go to 2023-24, right, that season where he started, I think he started 37 games that year for the Chicago Bulls, which is a little bit underneath half the season. We know we had injuries and stuff like that. Over that, he averaged 12 shots per game. He shot the ball 50% from the field. Five of those shots were three-pointers. He shot the ball 51% from the field. And then one steal per game, 3.5 rebounds per game, and 4.5 assists on his way to 15 points per game. And he did all that with less than 2 turnovers per game. That assist-to-turnover ratio, when you add in that steal number as well, Io DeSumo had himself a season when he started in 2023-24. Now, let's flip that to 2024-25. He started 26 games for the Bulls. He shot 10 shots per game, still hit it at a 52% clip. He took 4.5 threes per game, hit it at 36%, so stepped down from the season prior to that. 5 assists, 3.3 rebounds per game, 1.3 steals, and his turnovers actually went down a little bit in that time to score 14 points per game. So I look at this, and to me, I get it why people are saying Isaac Okoro. I definitely think he has a chance to start here. I've said it before, Kevin Herter and his chemistry with Josh Giddey and what he looked like as a starter last year. There's no real reason yet to think let's remove him from his starting position. So there's that too, right? But I think Ayo Dosunmu is going to be right there competing for that starting three role. And I think that, you know, we'll see how he comes out on top. Now, whether he's starting or coming off the bench, I think Ayo Dosunmu is going to be getting starter level minutes. I think that that's just foregone. He's going to get starter level minutes. And I think that that's the right thing for him. I think he's shown that over the last two seasons, he's averaged 29 and 30 minutes respectively. So I think he's going to still see a huge number of minutes because of his ability to play defense, his ability to create out in transition, him also being a decent rebounder for his position as well. So he can start the break and finish it with his passing. I think all those things show that Adosunmu, he's a player that can play. And while Ayo was initially a point guard and looked at that, he's been much better for the Chicago Bulls when he plays off ball, meaning either the two or the three. When he plays out on that wing, that is when Ayo Dosunmu has been at his best. And we've even seen him play some 4 minutes last season. But I think now with Modest Bouzelis and his growth there and having Dalen and Noah Essengay and Patrick Williams, hopefully we don't have to run as much small ball four as we've run over Billy Donovan's time here. But I think Ayo is an easily overlooked player because of a lot of what he does doesn't always show up on the box score. And there are times where Ayo is not needed to be a scorer at all, and therefore you don't see as much of that, and that's kind of the easier thing to ascertain. But I think especially when you look at fitting, when you look at fit, he has more size than Trey Jones. He's a bigger and better defender there, so he can play next to Trey Jones. He's already shown that he can play with Josh Giddey and Kobe White on the court at the same time. He can play with Kobe. He has some of the best chemistry with Kobe White on the team. So that's already a thing that he can be on off with Kobe as well. And we haven't gotten to see him a whole lot of Modest Bouzelis because by the time Modest started up on his upward trend, that's when Ayo was coming down. And let's keep in mind, until last year, Ayo Dosunmu, the minimum number of games that he played was 76. So he's been a durable player over his NBA career as well. And let's hope that last year, knock on wood, wasn't the start of injury trends. As long as it's not, he's going to be in a really good place. All those things play into why Ayo could be shaped up to have a really big season and an important season for the Chicago Bulls team heading into next season. And I, for one, am excited to see if he can actually bring it. Ayo is an important player here in Chicago, and he's going to continue to be an important player here until either the Bulls trade him or he signs with another team, and he's going to be given that opportunity. And as much as we're talking about a player like Modest taking a step up, we're talking about a player like Kobe White, his role not changing from year to year, we're talking about a player like Josh Giddey being 22 years old, what is he going to continue to be able to do in playing the role that's best suited to his skill set? Ayo Dosunmu as well, having his role, because keep in mind, his rookie year, it fluctuated within that year between being, you know, a guard defender coming off the bench to being the starting point guard and asked to do more offensively. To his second year, he was coming in as the starting point guard, eventually lost that role to Patrick Beverley, was back coming off the bench. His second year, in and out of the starting lineup. And a lot of that happened in his fourth year last year, too. And then you throw in the injury with that. So Ayo coming into a situation where his role is not going to be changing a lot for the Bulls, I do think can help him as well really start uncovering some of that. And it's important. It's a contract year for Ayo also, and he's not going to be a restricted free agent. He's already gone through his restricted free agency. This is him being an unrestricted free agent. So this is really Ayo's opportunity to really shine and grow. And when you look at multi-positional defenders, the Bulls only have a couple of those. We got Ayo. We got Isaac Okoro. We got Patrick Williams. And that's really it. Now, Dalen and Julian do shape up to be that those switchable defenders that can guard multiple roles. The more consistency has to be there for them as well. And if
you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. all that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You do that, great. So, you know, Io's going to have an important role here for this Bulls team. And when, you know, I did the episode when I was talking about expectations for each player heading into next season, not only do I want to see Io shoot the ball more confidently and more consistently, which he has been doing over the last couple of years, I want to see an Io Dosunmu that goes truly, truly into attack mode. And Io that now takes on that role of, I'm about to be that defender. Not to compare, you know, me and Pat, the designer, we do Locked On Bulls together, and Pat often compares it to Alex Caruso. I don't need Io to be Alex Caruso because I think Io has more offensive upside than what Caruso offers. But I need Io to find that nice balance of being that two-way player for the Chicago Bulls team. And we've seen how important having two-way players is for a team, even if you're just competing for a playing spot, how important that has been for people. So, listen, let me know what you guys think on that down below. I think Io is shaped up to have a really big season and an important role as a defender on a team that needs defenders as many as they can get. You got to stay healthy, and hopefully that shoulder is going to be ready for him, and that he's not going to come into training camp with any restrictions, because him, much like everybody else, if they attack it and establish their roles early in training camp, they ain't going to do nothing but help this Bulls team. So we'll see how things go there. But with that said, let's go ahead and get into the mailbag today. You know, Monday's for overflow. We got three voicemails I didn't get into over the weekend. Let's get into them. This first one, this one's from Dre.
Yo, what up, Hey? Yo, man, this is Dre. Bro, I ain't called in a minute, man. Yeah, bro, I just got to watch your last video, and I'm just in this motherfucker brainstorming and shit. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, since the East is considered wide open, I'm like, is it realistically to think that we can possibly be fighting for like a fifth place in the East, or do you think that's a reach? Because, like, you know, I'm just thinking, like our team is nice, bro. And we finally got something to build on, you know? So I feel like we not going to be worse than last year. But, you know, it's the Bulls, too, though. Like, you know that PTSD is still there. So, you know, I want to say that we can at least be outside of the top 14, because, you know, it's still a lot that got to be proved for our teams. Like you said, it's still some unknowns there that, you know. But, like, do you think we'll be, like, because I don't know what's the mark, you know, for us, the outside mark for the play-in. Is it a 6th seed or fifth, one or two? But I'm like, you know, do you think we'll be in one of the spots? Do you think we'll be, like, right outside the play-in to make a playoff? Or do you think we'll be, like, you know, like one of them teams that just need to play one game to get out to play in, you know, type of situation. So, I don't know. I was just calling in about that. Oh, yeah. And then I don't know what's so much with the Vucevic. Like, don't get me wrong. I ain't high on him, but, like, you know, he still can be put to use. So, I don't know. I don't understand the Vucevic slander, though. But let me know, man. You ain't put me on last time I called in. So, look out for you, boy. Bro.
Can the Bulls finish fifth in the East? Now, for your question you ended your voicemail on, you have to be top six to avoid the play-in. So you have to be in the top six. The way that I see it, you have the Cavs, the Knicks, the Magic, the Hawks, and Detroit clearly above the Chicago Bulls. The Celtics, I think, are still going to be a better team than the Chicago Bulls. Even with that, I mean, they still got their core outside of Jason Tatum there. I still think that they're going to be a tough enough out in the Eastern Conference. So you have that. And then you still have teams that are going to be tough, too. The Miami Heat are still going to be competing. They added Norman Powell. They got Bam, Khalil Ware. What is he doing his second year? The Milwaukee Bucks have added Miles Turner. I still am not as confident on their roster, but, you know, you see what they're trying to do there. The Raptors are going to be a team that's trying to step up this year. And the Philadelphia 76ers, I know that they finished with only 24 wins last year, but that's another team that, with health, is going to be another tough team in the Eastern Conference, I think, if they're fully healthy. And I like what they have here, even if, like, Paul George isn't healthy and things like that. So it's going to be difficult to be top six in the East, so I'm not predicting that. But I wouldn't mind the Bulls. Like, what I hope the Bulls can compete for a top 8 seed, right? That they could be 7th or 8th in that and compete for that. Now, they would have to show that a lot of what they did post All-Star break about 70% of that would have to be consistently who they were this season to get to that place. But they can't. And like you said, I do think that this team has gotten better. I know that that's not something that a lot of people share when it comes to this Bulls team, because there's more doubt around this team than confidence. And I understand that. But I do think this team has gotten better. I think that with health, this team is better. Flipping Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball has made the team better as well, because you now have somebody that's more reliable, that does some of the same things. He's not the creator. He's not he doesn't get the deflections that Lonzo gets, but he's a really good on-ball defender, solid three-point shooter, and I think playing in an up-tempo pace is going to help him. And then it comes down to the step that Modest has taken, and what can the rookie Noah Essengay bring as well, right? So, you know, I hope that this team is going to be better the next season, and if they are, let's see if they can compete for at least the top 8 seed. But avoiding the play-in is probably still going to be difficult for them. Like I said, unless Kobe and Giddy and everybody really hit the ground running, which, I mean, can't count it out as a possibility, so we shall see there. All right, let's get into this next voicemail, man. This one's from Reggie.
Hey. Just calling after listening to you and Pat Nizzato on Locked On Bulls, talking about what one of the worst mistakes the front office made over the last, like, 5 years. And the number one to me would be Dr. T. Will over Halliburton. Like, you saw what Purcell was doing, and you had a decent idea of what he could do, but you already had Kobe White, that could be. I understood that. But at that point in time, you didn't have Lonzo Ball. In my opinion, Kobe White was always a scorer and never really a facilitator. So getting Halliburton would have made sense. You had an offer from New York to trade, for them to trade up and for you to trade down, pick up some picks, and still be able to get Halliburton. But apparently you didn't want to do that. Whatever. But that's the number one mistake they made. Number two for me was giving Billy Donovan an extension. After we saw how hard he was struggling, especially with making in-game, you know, adjustments, and how when Lonzo went down for the second half of that first year that all of those guys were together. I think they only won like 8 games. They went like, what was it? 8-16, 8-23, something like that. But yeah, they gave him a secret assistant because they knew how the Bulls would react because he wasn't doing a good job. Third decision was, of course, re-signing Patrick Williams, that deal. The fourth big mistake they made was not getting in on the trade of Mike Conley Jr. I think he was still in Minnesota or Utah. Not Minnesota, but Memphis or Utah. Where they were looking to move off him after Lonzo Ball went down and need a replacement. You think that Mike Conley Jr. could have got, you know, T.J. McConnell when he was barely known backup for Indiana. You saw him plenty of time, but didn't make a move. That's another mistake for them. The mistake they made that was major was signing DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he had some great games for the Bulls, but you knew his style didn't fit. You knew he was going to need the ball a lot. You knew he was going to take away from a lot of the other guys. And yet you saw him anyway. I think they could have been better suited if they got a two-way player who didn't take a whole lot of shots but played good defense. But who's good?
Drafting P. Will, the worst mistake. I mean, and Bulls fans agreed with you. When we voted on that poll, a lot of Bulls fans agreed with that. And, you know, it just shows, and not even just over Tyrese Halliburton. Like I said, even if you're looking at Devin Vassell, even if, you know, some of those other players that went in that draft, there are a lot of people that came down to it, it was tough. And P. Will, you know, how he took a step back as a defender last year was kind of the most concerning thing for me. Now, maybe that was just the foot injury. Maybe that part. If P. Will can just get back to being the solid defender and being the 40% three-point shooter, there's going to be a role for him always. There's always going to be a role for him. Make no mistake about it, right? It's just, and living up to that fourth overall selection, he's not going to do that. So drop that, right? Now, what can you bring? And he's never, I think, going to live up to the $19 million contract. That's just my personal opinion. But it doesn't mean he can't be a productive NBA player. you know, he's just going to have to show and prove it. And I think the Bulls have also taken the stance at this point, like, P. Will, it's on you to show us. Show us. And we'll see if P. Will can do that. But all right, that's my thought process. Thank you for leaving that voicemail, Reggie. Let's get into this last one, man. This last one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? It's Shay. Look, I know that this may be a rumor, but us trading for Kuminga at this point, even if it is for Ayo Dosunmu, it would be very pointless. Not because we lose one of our best defenders, but what was the whole purpose of trading away Lonzo Ball for Isaac Okoro if we were going to get Kuminga? What was the whole purpose of us drafting Noah Asenge if we're going to get Jonathan Kuminga? At that point, it would be just pointless. Look, I know people say, oh, Jonathan Kuminga is young up and coming, but we don't need no more scoring. We scored over 100 points last year. We need defense. And on top of that, Kuminga doesn't fit with Josh Giddey, and he doesn't fit with Kobe White. We already have two ball handles as it is. But hey, I bet you probably already knew that. So I'm preaching to the choir by sending this voicemail. It's just a pointless trade to lose a guy that we really need and to get the guy that we don't need, especially when we already drafted a guy in Noah Senge, and we already have a guy in Isaac Okoro. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
I agree wholeheartedly. There is no point in trading for Jonathan Kuminga at this point anymore. Like I've said many times before, if you were to trade for Jonathan Kuminga, it means you're also paying him. So if you re-sign Giddey, trade for Jonathan Kuminga, and re-sign Kobe at the end of the year, you're looking at about $100 million wrapped up in those three players that don't have the most seamless fit. You know, all of them like to have the ball in their hands. That's very difficult to make balance out when you have three players that need to have the ball in their hands to be as productive as what they can be. None of them are great off-ball scorers either, or haven't been that consistently as of yet in their team. And then on top of that, you got Modest here, who you want to see grow offensively. And even if Noah Essanga isn't going to be in your offensive plans right away, you want to still get him those opportunities, and that's your front court of the future. So I'm out on the Jonathan Kuminga thing. I don't think it makes any sense for where the Bulls offseason has went. You also traded for Isaac Okoro. You've done those type of things. So I don't really see it working out and it making sense for the Chicago Bulls. Now, I will say that doesn't mean that it can't happen. That doesn't mean that it still may not be on the table for the Chicago Bulls. I will say that. But to me, it just, with everything and where we are right now, it just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense for the Bulls to go in that direction, if that makes any sense. But I guess we shall see what the Bulls have in store for us, fam. But that's my time for today, y'all. You guys can make sure you're following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.